Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here, as always, to take the source material you provide and, well, really distill it down, get to the core knowledge you need. And today, we're tackling something pretty common, but also, honestly, quite stressful. That moment when you're buying a car. Yeah, specifically the decision about the extended warranty. It's high stakes, right? A big financial commitment. You're sitting there, maybe in the finance office at the dealership. They ask you to pay potentially thousands up front to guard against some, you know, future problem that might not even happen. It's a real mind game. Logic versus fear. So we're aiming to arm you with a better way to think about it, conceptually.
That's exactly the goal.
Yeah.
The source material provided by our listener really focuses on this idea of long-term vehicle costs.
Yeah.
And since you, the listener, want to get up to speed quickly on these kinds of big financial choices, our mission here is pretty clear. We need to unpack the source title itself. It's excerpts from extended warranties and long-term vehicle costs, how extended warranties affect long-term vehicle costs. It's basically our roadmap.
A roadmap. Okay.
Yeah. And the title poses the central question, doesn't it? Does paying for that warranty now, does it actually save you money in the long run? Or does it just sort of shift the costs around? We have to define the moving parts here and see how they interact.
Okay, let's do that. Let's unpack this financial puzzle. The title promises two big pieces we need to balance. Let's start with the thing itself, the extended warranty. What is it fundamentally?
Well, conceptually, think of it as risk transfer. That's mm-hmm. the core idea. You pay a fixed amount, a known cost today, and in return, you shift the potential cost of major unexpected repairs, like, you know, the transmission failing or a big electrical issue, away from yourself.
So it's basically insurance for after the factory warranty runs out.
Exactly. It kicks in when the original manufacturer's coverage expires. It's protection against those scary, unpredictable bills.
Okay, but that definition, that protection, it comes at a definite cost, a cost you pay now. And that immediately brings up something economists talk about, opportunity cost.
Right. Oh, absolutely crucial. Yes. Let's say the warranty is, I don't know, $4,000. You pay that today. That money's gone from your pocket. It's a sunk cost for the protection.
Right.
But it's not just comparing that $4,000 to maybe a $5,000 repair down the line. That's too simple. You have to ask.
Yeah.
What else could you have done with that $4,000?
Like investing it.
Exactly. What return could it have generated over, say, 5 years if you'd invested it instead of buying the warranty? That potential return is the opportunity cost. It gets subtracted from your overall wealth, and it's absolutely part of the true cost of that warranty.
Okay, so the cost isn't just the sticker price of the warranty. It's also what you lose by spending that money now. And thinking about how these things are sold, you mentioned budget predictability being a benefit,
yeah.
Keeping monthly costs stable. But isn't that $4,000 often just rolled into the car loan?
Very frequently, yes. Mm. That's a common practice in dealerships. And if the warranty premium is financed, well, that predictability you mentioned comes with a sting in the tail. Interest. You're now paying interest on the warranty cost for the entire life of the car loan, maybe 3, 4, or 5 years. This is a sneaky variable in the total cost of ownership, the TCO. You're not just paying $4,000, you're paying $4,000 plus all that compounded interest, which can really add up.
Wow. Okay. So that instantly eats into any potential long-term savings from avoiding a repair. The cost profile isn't just immediate. It can be, well, exponential if you finance it.
It certainly inflates the actual cost significantly.
Okay. That leads us nicely to the other side of the equation mentioned in the title, long-term vehicle costs. When we talk about the total cost of ownership, or TCO, what are we actually including? What does that mean in this context?
Right. TCO.
Yeah.
It's meant to be the complete financial picture of owning that car. Most people think of the obvious stuff, gas, insurance, maybe oil changes, tires.
Yeah.
Routine maintenance.
Sure.
But the kind of TCO calculation implied by our source title, it needs to be more comprehensive. That has to include the initial purchase price, of course, any interest paid on the loan.
For the car and maybe the warranty.
Exactly. Plus taxes, registration fees, all repairs, the routine stuff and the unexpected breakdowns. And here's the big one, depreciation.
Ah, depreciation. The silent killer of car value. If you really look at the numbers in a TCO framework, for most owners, the single biggest cost isn't fuel or even a major repair. It's how much value the car loses over time.
Precisely. It's often the largest single expense, but it doesn't come out of your wallet each month, so it's easy to overlook. And this is where the extended warranty can become. Well, interesting. It plays a role here, too.
How so?
Well, the cost of the warranty itself gets added to your TCO, obviously. But it might actually help reduce the impact of depreciation.
Okay. Explain that.
Think about selling the car later on. If your car still has an active, transferable, extended warranty attached to it, it's potentially more appealing to the next buyer, right? It lowers their perceived risk of buying your used car.
Okay, I see. So they might be willing to pay a bit more for the car because it comes with that remaining coverage.
Exactly. Maybe you sell it for, say, $1,500 more than an identical car without the warranty. If that happens, the net cost of your original warranty effectively just went down by $1,500.
Ah, okay. So the warranty isn't just fighting potential future repair costs. It could also be fighting against that value erosion, that depreciation. It's a more complex calculation than it first appears.
It really is. And it gets even more complex when you think about the underlying risk dynamics, what's actually happening in this transaction.
Go on.
When the warranty company sets the price, the premium, for that coverage, they're making a bet. They're betting, based on their data, that your specific car will likely be more reliable than average for that model, or at least reliable enough that your premium covers their expected payout plus profit.
Okay.
But you, the buyer, you're essentially betting the opposite. You're betting your car might be less reliable, or at least that a costly failure is likely enough to make the warranty worthwhile.
That interaction, that bet, it brings up a couple of classic concepts from economics, doesn't it? The first one being adverse selection.
So meet me there.
Well, is it possible that the people most likely to seek out and buy an extended warranty are the ones who maybe secretly know something? Perhaps they know they drive the car really hard, or they did research and found out that specific model year has a known transmission issue. So the group buying warranties isn't random. It's skewed towards people who have a higher expectation of making a claim. They have adverse information.
That's precisely the risk the warranty provider faces. That's adverse selection. If their customer pool is mostly made up of owners with potentially riskier cars or driving habits, the average premium they calculated might not be enough to cover the actual claims. The buyers, in that case, are leveraging their private information about the risk.
Okay, that's the risk before the sale. What about after? There's another concept, right? Moral hazard.
Yes, moral hazard comes into play after you have the insurance, after you have the warranty.
Does having that coverage, knowing that, say, a huge engine repair is covered, does that make the owner behave differently?
Like maybe skipping some maintenance.
Exactly. Like maybe that expensive transmission fluid flush the manual recommends. Maybe you think, if the transmission blows up, the warranty covers it anyway. So you skip the preventative maintenance because the consequence of failure feels less severe to you.
That's the potential for moral hazard. The warranty is meant to provide budget stability. But the very existence of that safety net might lead some owners to be less careful with maintenance. Unless the policy explicitly says coverage is void if you miss scheduled maintenance, and sometimes they do, you have to read the fine print, the owner's behavior could change.
And ironically, that change in behavior could actually increase the chance of a major failure happening.
Which, in the long run, could drive up repair costs across the board, potentially leading to higher warranty premiums for everyone in the future. It's a feedback loop.
So, okay, let's try to pull these threads together based on the source title's promise. We have the warranty, a known upfront cost, potentially higher if financed, comes with opportunity cost. And it's designed to combat two things: unpredictable, expensive repairs, and maybe indirectly, the predictable cost of depreciation.
Correct.
The title says we need to understand how this affects long-term vehicle costs. That means synthesizing all these factors.
But the calculation isn't just about the numbers on a spreadsheet. It can't be. We have to bring in the psychological aspect of this decision.
Ah, okay. The human element. What are we missing if we only look at the math?
We're missing the value people place on peace of mind. Think about a family, maybe on a really tight budget. The idea of suddenly getting hit with a, you know, $4,000 repair bill right after Christmas, that could be catastrophic for them.
Even if they technically have savings, the shock could be huge.
Exactly. It could derail their whole financial plan. For that family, the predictability the warranty offers. Knowing their maximum car repair cost for the next few years is basically zero or just a small deductible. That certainty might be worth paying the premium for, even if, purely mathematically, the odds suggest they might come out slightly ahead by not buying it.
So the affect in the title, how extended warranties affect long-term vehicle costs, isn't just dollars and cents. It's also about emotional cost, stress, stability.
Yes. For someone genuinely worried about financial shocks, the warranty premium might feel like a sleep well at night fee, and that has real value.
You could argue that budget stability itself is a tangible financial benefit, even if it's hard to quantify perfectly. It lets you plan other aspects of your finances with more confidence because one big area of uncertainty is, well, constrained.
That's a great way to put it. It constrains the uncertainty.
Okay, so the analysis demanded by our source title is actually really layered. We need to think about interest rates, opportunity cost, depreciation, risk behavior like adverse selection, and moral hazard, and the psychological value of predictability and avoiding financial stress. It's definitely way more involved than just, you know, warranty costs $4, average big repair costs $5, so maybe buy it.
Absolutely. So to summarize the core task set out by the title, the job is really to figure out if adding this known upfront, maybe even inflated cost, the warranty ultimately leads to a long-term cost situation that's better financially, or perhaps just more emotionally manageable compared to taking your chances with the potentially huge unexpected bills later on.
We've explored the TCO framework, the risk transfer dynamics, the behavioral aspects. It's a complex web, which brings us to the final thought we want to leave you, the listener, with. A question that arises purely from mapping out these concepts.
Right. If the main goal here, like the title suggests, is truly about minimizing your long-term costs, then maybe we need to ask a question that comes before the warranty decision itself. How much focus should you put on managing the financial risk of failure, which is what the warranty does, it's insurance, versus trying to predict and choose a vehicle that is inherently reliable in the first place?
Oh, so manage the risk or avoid the risk?
Exactly. Is the smartest long-term financial strategy paying, say, $4,000 to insure against a potential $5,000 failure on a car known to be just, you know, okay in terms of reliability? Or is it better to potentially put that $4,000 towards buying a car model that has a stellar documented track record of not needing major repairs during the period you plan to own it?
Choosing reliability up front versus insuring against unreliability later.
That's the fundamental trade-off conceptually.
Yeah.
Insuring the risk versus selecting to avoid the risk. Thinking about that choice is central to figuring out the real long-term value proposition of an extended warranty based on what this title asks us to consider.
That's a fantastic point to end on. The warranty decision isn't isolated. It's part of a much bigger picture about how you approach vehicle ownership costs from the start. Thank you, as always, for sharing your sources with us and letting us really dig into this. It's a decision point many people face. We hope this conceptual framework helps you navigate it with a bit more clarity and confidence next time you're faced with it.